I knew I could choose not to do it. You can choose not to obey the call and plan and purpose of God in your life. You can choose that. You can choose to walk away. No matter how long you have been walking with the Lord, you can choose and say, no, I won't do this. I don't like it. I don't like the people. I don't like the situations. I don't like the challenge. I don't like how uncomfortable it makes me. I don't like any of that. I am leaving. And sad to say, in our journey with the Lord over all these years, we've met people who've literally turned away. And the Bible warns us, we can get to some of those verses if the Lord is pleased to take us there today. You can certainly study about the warnings. There are warnings in the Bible to not lose faith, not lose confidence, and not turn away. And I was deeply, deeply challenged in that. And I knew that I was at the crossroads. And God was adamant, this is what I want you to do. And your destiny, the purpose that I have created. Do you know that God created you for a purpose? It's really important that you understand. You're not an accident of evolution. You're not an accident of your parents' relationship. You're not an accident. God has created you with a plan and a purpose. And when He looks at you, He says, this is what I want to do with your life if you give it to me. And that's the thing. You have to give yourself freely to the Lord to let Him do the work that He wants to do. Otherwise, He can't do it because you have a free will. You can say to the Lord, no, I want to live for myself. I want to do my will, my ways, my time, my choices, my friends, my money, my lust, my greed, my gambling, my drugs, my drinking, you name it. I want to live that life. And God says, that's fine. It's your choice. I gave you the gift of life and free will. You can go your own way. And many people down through the history of humanity have done that. But there have been those who've been captured by the grace of God. Has the grace of God captured you? I believe that when you get saved, some grace comes into you for you to believe that Jesus is Lord. And when you go knocking on doors, you will see the grace of God in operation. You will see when God touches people, you'll see it in their face. And you'll watch, sometimes you'll actually have the moment we're seeing where they step in and they receive the Lord or they step away. But you see the moment when the capturing love and grace of God is on them. Young people, old people, children. And you see that moment where the Holy Spirit is actually touching them and you watch them say yes or no. And it breaks your heart when they say no, but you can't convince them to say yes. Just like today, I have an impelling in my spirit to draw you to a higher and deeper walk with the Lord, but you can say no, I like where I am. I like the fact that I can control, who I'm with and what I do and what I commit to and what I don't commit to and where I go and where I don't go. I like the control I have over the words I say, the things I hear. I like that. And I tell you, when you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus, a real disciple, you give up the right to control. You give up the right to control. That was a good place to say amen, even if it hurts you to say it. And if it hurts you, I don't care. I'm not here for you to like me, beloved. I'm here for you to learn to be disciples of the kingdom of God. And there is pain as part of the process. And believe me, I was in excruciating pain. The fear was tormenting me. And now winter turns into spring. God is not convinced. He doesn't let me go. And the fear was literally haunting me. And at times, as I shared with you, paralyzing me. And now the winter turns into spring. Spring turns into summer. It's now June. I'm praying through this, trying to convince, because I couldn't get away from it, couldn't figure out how to do it. Did not have the grace, did not have the ability, could not do it. I tell you, I couldn't do it. And I was walking, I'll never forget this moment, I was walking around the street where I live. And I walked around it once, I walked around it twice. On the third lap, when I got to my house, literally sitting in front of my house was a little wooden box. The first lap it wasn't, second lap it wasn't, third lap, There was a little wooden box, and I looked at it and I said, are you kidding me? Because he knew I wasn't going to go out and buy one or build one. So he delivered one to me. And I thought, what are the odds? Where did this come from? Who would put a little wooden box of all things in front, literally on the street in front of my house? So I knew it was from the Lord. And I thought, well, if I'm going to die on this box, the box should at least look nice. So I took it in the back and painted it. This was just another stall tactic. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I knew it. And I had learned in America that you can preach anything you want anywhere in the country except the violent overthrow of the government. You can't preach. You can preach the overthrow of the government, but not the violent overthrow of the government. And as evidence of the fact that you're not preaching the violent overthrow of the government, you should have an American flag. And if you have a flag standing there, you can preach anything you want to. And so I knew I had to attach a flag to this box and built a little thing for the flag to go into in a collapsible pole, and there, this gold box with the flag and the pole. And it was, I tell you this, it felt to me like I was building my own gallows, my own guillotine. And then the day came when I knew that I had to do this. And I said to Janet, I was convinced that I was going to die. The terror was not decreased, but I was confronting it. This is important for you to understand. And I said to Janet, I love you. I gave her a kiss. And I literally thought that I was going to die. I packed the stuff into my car, drove to this crowded area, you know, where there are very few parking spots. Every spot has a parking meter in it. Very difficult to find a spot. I drive up, was Kings Highway and East 16th Street. If you know Brooklyn or care to know where it is, you can Google the neighborhood now and see it on the map. And I drove up and there was a parking spot. And there was time on the meter. I didn't even have to put money on in. And I was saying, God, you got a sense of humor, but I ain't laughing. I know this is you, because I was not happy about this. But something, listen to me please, this was the crux of the matter for me. I was determined to do the will of God. I knew in those 6 months that I was at a crossroads and I was being challenged. Do you want my will in your life? Will you go through the painful process? And I was terrified, beloved. I was in a pain that I couldn't manage. And I knew that I was getting to the point where I had to make this choice. Howie, do you love me? Will you obey me? This is what I want you to do. And I was coming to the point over these 6 months, and God providing the box and all of, you know, that little moment. I knew I was getting to the point where I had to choose. The pressure was getting too great. So I made a choice. Okay, if I die, I die, but I'm going to do the will of God. I'm telling you, as we move forward into the purposes of God, you have to have a heart that says, if I die, I die, but I'm going to do the will of God. Whatever it is, because I want what Jesus wants for me, and if this is the path, I will take it. Yeah. If it's painful, I'll endure it. Lord, God, have mercy on me. Help me, help me, help me. I can't do it. I mean, I prayed that prayer 10,000 times, 10,000 times. Help me, help me, help me. And I thought, help me, help me, help me would mean the fear would go. And it didn't. Because I was learning a lesson about dealing with fear. So here I am, terrified, but I knew I was at the crossroads. I had to do it. Packed up the car, kissed my wife goodbye. My heart was racing. Talk about high anxiety. You know, I thought I was going to die. And I got to King's Highway. I parked the car. Didn't have to put money in the meter. You think this is funny? I hope you're enjoying this. I'm not. And right on time, I think it was 5 o'clock or 5:30, I stood on the box.